Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the podcast ministry of Gospel of Grace Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. This is Jessica Kramus, your host for this series. I'm speaking today with Bob DeWay, Gospel of Grace's teacher and theologian and author of Critical Issues Commentary. Well, here we are starting session 7. Do you want to give us just an overview of what we've gone over so far and where we're going today?
Well, we've been talking about Enneagram, which is the circle with the 9 points and then divided into 3 triangles and 9 personality types and all that.
Okay.
And then we talked about the panentheistic worldview of the people promoting it in the occultic sources of Enneagram. And last week we were talking about this idea of the collective unconscious.
Okay.
It comes from Jung, a mystical occultic psychiatrist from the early 20th century. So that's a false idea. And we also talked about how they're going to try to excavate the inner divine being.
Wow.
So, I mean, this couldn't get more theologically false, but we're going to yet cover more ideas that are totally unbiblical here. And so I don't know how this is getting into so many churches and seminaries and these promoters are popular teachers.
Right. And
I saw a video, I think you sent it to me, where the convocation for some big university.
Liberty University.
Was promoting it, or there, some people were promoting it to their student body. So the question is, where and why are we so susceptible to this? And the answer, obviously, is the Bible's not being taught clearly enough in evangelical churches that anybody even knows what it says.
That's right. And I think that's going to become particularly clear in this next section as we talk about the true self and the false self.
Yes. That's two of their categories, true self and false self. And I have a section heading in my article about that.
Okay, so, and friends, if you'd like to follow along, this is CIC issue 138. You can get it for free on the CIC website, cicministry.org, or there's also a Kindle edition available on Amazon. So, true self and false self. You gave us a quote from Richard Rohr from his book on pages 4 and 5. Can you share that with us? That would be a good place to start.
Okay, here's what Rohr says, and by the way, he's one of the key promoters of this. Rohr says, "The person as created by God is, according to the Bible, very good," Genesis 2:31. Then he goes on to say, "This human essence," parenthetically, one's true self, there's that idea, back to Rohr, "is exposed to the assault of threatening forces even during pregnancy and at the latest from the moment of birth. The Christian doctrine of original sin points to this psychological fact by emphasizing that there actually is not undamaged, free, and very good person at any point of the individual's existence." Unquote.
Okay.
Yikes. Well, here we have a total rejection of the doctrine of the fall.
Right. But he says it's the doctrine of original sin.
Yeah, but not the biblical doctrine. He roughly alludes to the biblical story in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
but he ignores all the material in the Bible about the fact that everyone's born a sinner.
Right.
And that this sin nature is inherited from Adam.
Right.
In Adam, all die, 1 Corinthians 15 says. And so we have his idea of a pristine inner self to be excavated. We've already showed that.
Mm-hmm.
That either during pregnancy or soon after starts to go bad.
Okay, so we start out pristine and things happen to us. So that sin comes from outside, not inside. We actually talked about that, I believe, in the last episode, but it's really clear in this quote.
Yeah, and so you get a lot of repetition of this stuff throughout their books. So if we're repetitive, it's because they are.
Right. Well, what also really stood out to me in this quote that I circled on my copy is the person as created by God is, according to the Bible, very good. I would say the person originally created was very good.
The original
before
creation.
The fall.
Right, but see, that's the kicker. Enneagram, he has no doctrine of the fall. In fact, they reject it because they have psychological theory to explain evil in the world rather than biblical truth.
So this is not the doctrine of original sin.
No, it has nothing to do with it. See, this is very coy. I do not believe that Richard Rohr believes the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. I'm sure if somebody asked, he'd say no.
Wow.
He'd have some other version. Mm-hmm. If he wants to say yes, I'd like to hear it. But you know what? I don't let that influence my apologetics and my exegesis. When I deal with false doctrine, I use the Bible as it claim what it claims for itself.
Right.
The inspired word of God. And I use it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the person I'm debating may privately not really believe it.
But that doesn't make it not true.
Well, so I use it anyhow. I debated Greg Boyd. I just use the Bible.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to come out and deny that he believes it. And so I use it and then try to paint him in a corner with it.
Right, which you did. I was there that night.
And so this is disingenuous when they use the Bible because they don't really believe it.
Right.
But they like to use stories of it because the Bible is the most published book in the world. And it has credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to sell this to Christians.
Right.
So they use some biblical stories loosely cited, but not according to the intent of the original author.
Right. And especially here in America, most people know enough basic Christian doctrine. I would call it the American cultural Christianity. But they know enough to pick up on those phrases like original sin, but they may not actually know what the Bible teaches about original sin. So it just makes it sound good.
Yeah, they couldn't articulate the doctrine.
Right.
And that's why this should be happening in churches every Sunday when sermons are preached, so people get a biblical worldview. I've been advocating for that for decades.
Yep.
And sadly, it seems that most pastors don't want to do that. Saying that, let's just look at what the Bible says so that if you're hearing this stuff and it's coming into your church or you're a student at a university that's supposedly Christian and they're bringing this in and talking about their numbers or whatever. In fact, I think in one of our previous broadcasts, I mentioned some people take it like a parlor game.
Right.
Well, even Rohr says that it's not. I found this here, Jessica, before you got here.
Okay.
Here's Rohr's book. I've got it marked. I'm open on page number 4. I'm going to quote Rohr. The Enneagram is more than an entertaining game for learning about oneself. It is concerned with change and making a turnabout with what religious traditions call conversions or repentance.
Oh, wow. So he's offering salvation through his Enneagram.
So he's not making this about finding out more about yourself like an entertaining game. What number are you? What number are you?
Right.
What number are your kids? What number is your parents? It's about conversion.
Wow.
And what you're being converted to is a pagan religion.
Yep.
And so we'll get to that in a future broadcast, but I call that a fake conversion.
Yep. Wow. You know, and our number one negative response to this series so far that comes to us through Facebook and different things like that, the only negative feedback I have seen has always been, it's just a personality test. You're taking it too seriously.
Well, tell Rohr that.
Right. He does not say it's
just. He says it's not that.
Right. There is so much more to this.
This is a conversion. And if you're a Christian doing this, they're trying to convert you to the Eastern religion.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is a reverse conversion for a Christian.
Yep.
And so are you ready to jettison the Christ of the Bible and become a Buddhist or a mystic monk or whatever? That's what they're aiming at.
Right. And we're going to get to that shortly.
Yeah. I know. I'm getting ahead of myself, but a little preview.
Yeah.
What's your appetite? But the fact is, don't listen to this. Why isn't this being run right out of every church, seminary, Bible college, driven out.
Yep.
But the Johnny Milquetoast preachers are too worried about being popular to deal with real Christian doctrine. And I say, get yourself focused, open your Bibles, and deal with things.
If we want people to be converted, we need to preach the gospel. It's as simple as that. You don't need the Enneagram for a conversion.
Well, they're trying to convert you from the gospel.
Exactly.
To Nguyen, Merton, Ken Wilber, Eastern philosophy, Carl Jung, everything else. In this article, I noticed rereading it, I cite the gospel over and over.
Yep.
Trying to show a contrast. Now, let me show you what the Bible says about self, okay?
Okay.
We're dealing with a section in my article, page 4, as it's laid out in the PDF here, true self and false self.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Here's what the Bible said. I'm going to preach on this. I knew I had a sermon, but it's one I haven't preached yet. I found it today.
Okay.
Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That in reference to your former manner of life, Paul says, you lay aside the old self, the Greek is anthropos, the old man,
okay,
which is, by the way, a reference back to Adam.
Right.
And Adam all die. Ephesians 2, 1, you were dead. Okay. Back to the quote, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, according to Paul, you lay aside the old self, which is dead in Adam, is being further corrupted as life goes on. So you start out dead, and then you live it out.
Right.
You got your grave clothes on.
Yeah.
Lay aside is a clothing analogy. This is a preview for a sermon I haven't preached yet.
Okay.
Verse 24, and put on, there's your clothing analogy, the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness of the truth. So you have two things going on, lust of deceit, holiness of the truth. They're in contrast, one or the other. So, dear listeners, the true self that they're talking about is the old self that Paul warned about.
Yep.
That you died to if you're in Christ, and the clothing that you wore, the lusts of deceit and the corruption, you need to lay aside. And the new self is that of someone born of God because they believed in Christ. And you need to put on clothing, which means to be renewed in the holiness and righteousness of the truth. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. If you want to listen to Gospel of Grace sermons, I got one coming up on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this true self. They're thinking that in the sinner, deep down inside of your unconscious or whatever they're trying to call it, there's this pristine true self you got to excavate and find.
Well, what you'll find is an old, dead, rotting corpse.
That's
the
what
old
Paul says.
Self needs to be dead.
Right.
Going forward into the future is going towards resurrection, towards glorification. The whole process for them is completely reversed.
Exactly.
In your article, you go on to quote Rohr from page 5. Can you share that with us?
Okay, it says here, quote, the Enneagram can help us develop an awareness of our future and destiny for that true face that we do not yet have, but that already slumbers deep down inside us. Richard Rohr, page 5 from his book, The Enneagram, A Christian Perspective. By the way, it's a pagan perspective, but that's the opposite.
Yes, that's really what we just showed. There's no pristine self. There's a rotting corpse.
Yeah, let me reinforce that by going to Colossians.
Okay.
Colossians 3, 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. So this, in many ways, a little preview of a future radio show, just totally destroys Enneagram. Because according to Enneagram's false process, everybody has a different system of finding the true self based on what number they are.
Yeah.
In the books that I have, I read three of these books. They have each number laid out. Here's for you. Here's for you. Here's your problem. Here's what you need to do. 1 through 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to Paul, the old self needs to die, no matter who you are, because you're in Adam, and the new self needs to be renewed. And it doesn't matter. He lists all the different things you might be.
Yeah.
The great thing about the biblical gospel is it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you have been, your race, your past, however wicked the sins were. It's all dead in Adam.
Right.
And you lay it aside.
We don't go back to it.
Yeah, we go from the old to the new. And in their process, you start with the old and try to excavate the new out of the inner self that the Bible says was nothing but the dead old man, Adam.
Yep.
In Adam, all die. Ephesians 2:1, you were dead.
Yeah.
So you go excavate, you go find your number and follow their process, and all you'll find is death.
Right. I had scribbled in the margin of your article here, 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is future. We don't go back to see right. how we were. We go forward, and when he is revealed, it's yeah. all future. It's all
yeah,
future.
Backwards, because Rohrer's claiming this true self already slumbers deep inside everyone.
Yep.
He's not talking about just somebody who knows Christ, because he doesn't know Christ himself, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. It all applies equally to everyone, whereas in 1 John, the children of God are those who have, by grace through faith, received the new birth.
Exactly.
That we're born again.
Of God.
We are,
you have to
yes.
be born again. Now, I'm not claiming to know Rohrer's heart, but I can judge doctrine.
Right.
If he's a Christian, he wouldn't be teaching these pagan ideas.
Yep.
And so I don't see signs of regeneration. I see signs of paganism.
Right. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 is another verse that comes to mind. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Future, we're being transformed. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. And it's something that God is doing in us. It's not a mystical process that we have to go through to find something that we lost before. It's always forward.
But Jessica, don't you need to know your number?
Oh, that part must be missing from my Bible.
I wonder why they didn't know about that. They claimed that this goes all the way back to Pythagoras.
Right.
So Paul didn't know about it. In my article, I mentioned some people, and I've covered this in my book on emergent, but you got Thomas Merton, who's a false teacher, mystic, Ken Wilber, Buddhist philosopher, and then they have Nguyen, another mystic. And so any false teacher who's a mystic is somebody that they admire and promote. But I'm not going to break down each one of those guys' teachings. I've written about it in the past. I've written a book about it with Emergent.
Yep.
So we'll kind of move along here, but let me just give a basic overview of that, okay?
Okay.
These teachers believe that Enneagram is a sacred tool for finding one's way from the false self to the pristine inner true self, and in so doing, find God.
Wow.
And the Bible says you didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You were alienated from the life of God without hope in the world.
Yep.
Okay. And the way to know God is to come to faith in Jesus Christ, who died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. They want to go into this inner journey to find God inside of the self.
So really, then, I am God.
Well, that's panentheism. God's in everything. They would say, no, The corporate eye is God.
That's right. And we talked about that a bit in the last
episode.
But
yeah, so they kind of diffuse God into the whole.
Right.
But there's all kinds of ways they say that, all of which are unbiblical. But let me talk about another term that keeps showing up. I ran into this. I was reading a theology book written by a guy that I disagree with, but he had a good overview of different German theologians over the centuries.
Okay.
They were talking about the authentic self.
Okay.
So I was reading that from a book written in 85 by a guy who really isn't biblical.
Okay.
But they're looking for the authentic self. Well, that shows up here. This Kron, whose book I cite in my article, cites a guy by the name of Parker Palmer. Here's what he said, quote, "Our deepest calling is to grow into our own authentic selfhood, whether or not it conforms to some image of who we ought to be." So let me talk about that. That's psychological theory.
Right.
Okay. Psychological theory that's not proven by science and most certainly not biblical. So they're thinking that shaming or bad messages as we were growing up, coming from our parents, our schools, or our culture, actually caused us to run and hide our authentic self. Okay? That's why he calls it some image of who we ought to be. So the culture, the church, somebody's making me think I should be this certain way.
Right.
But I shouldn't listen to any of that. Well, it could be we shouldn't. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But there's some authentic self we got to find. And so that's another way they use to describe the, quote, true self. But the Bible, as we have cited in several places, tells us to die to self and come alive to God.
Right. We need to die to self. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Right. You're exactly right, Jessica. And see, I ran into a lot of this when I, in the 80s, I didn't start writing CIC until 1992, but I was researching it before that and presenting my findings to pastors. But back then, the authentic self was a big deal in pop psychological theory being brought into the church. And so they would go to these group sessions trying to be real, authentic, who's the real me?
Okay.
Okay. And somehow authenticity became a touchstone for some sort of psychological healing. And so you may run into that.
Right.
Okay, so let me make another citation. We're about out of time here for this session, but this again is from that Kron. We haven't talked about his book much.
Okay.
I have it in a block citation here on page 5 of the PDF of issue 138. Quoting him, quote, "Worst of all, by over-identifying who we are with our personality, we forget or lose touch with our authentic self, the beautiful essence of who we are," he says.
Wow.
And Kron says, as Frank Buchner so poignantly describes it, the original shimmering self gets buried so deep that most of us end up hardly living out of it at all. I won't do any more of that quote. But that tells you what their theory is. There's an original, pristine, authentic self, and we got to find it. And it starts by finding our Enneagram number and then finding what our propensity is, our false self looks like, and start working backwards using mystical practices to get down to the pristine, shimmering, authentic self that's hidden down within us and has been our entire lives. So rather than looking for Christ, because they have a false Christ, which is the Enneagram Christ, who's the combination of all 9 numbers, they're looking for some inner self.
Okay. I'm going to close us with a verse out of Philippians 3. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's press towards the upward call, towards Christ, not inwards to our old dead selves.
Amen.
All right. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Jessica Kramus.
And Bob DeWay.
We'll see you next week.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.